Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 158 for August 29th, 2021. I have no show title yet. my name is Hobie Hitting. I'm joined this evening by Devin Rizzo and
It's 4 p.m. This is afternoon.
Well, I am just trying to keep things more consistent after us not podcasting in a month. And everyone knows we always podcast at like 12 o'clock at night. We were doing this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were trying to do 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but, you know, Devin and Windows updates.
It is not my fault Windows wants to update during active hours.
My active hours
are set to 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's not supposed to update during active hours.
Well, but there are limits to active hours when you don't update.
Whatever. It's my laptop. I should be able to decide whether or not I want it to be up to date.
You threw that away when you got the consumer edition of Windows 10 and not the Pro.
I have Windows Pro. I have Pro.
There are still limits for cybersecurity that you have to update.
Bite me.
Can't, because you're 12 hours away. I don't have the radio collar set up with Pixel yet so that I can give Pixel remote commands about when to come and bite you in the butt. Him and I have a back channel over Telegram. It's called the, I don't know, the Sneaky Cat Network. Oh, man. So, yes, the beginning of the semester. And, Hobie's like, It's been a lot. So,
other news, it's officially robot season for FLL, and FTC kicks off in 2 weeks.
Oh, so loud!
I meant to do that.
And see, I'm the one who gave blood, so I should be more woozy than Devin. So
woozy, I just hit a box that was perched on top of a cup, which was balanced on top of a box, which sent another box flying while trying to grab a fidget toy.
Fair enough. I just have one at the ready.
You still have that?
Yes, that's my favorite thing ever. I'm sorry, for those who don't see the video feed. It is a 3D printed fidget spinner that Devin made me. This orange and has
3 years ago.
No, I think it's longer than that. I've been at Auburn 5 years now, and I think you got it for me the first year I was at Auburn. So I think it's 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How have you not lost or broken that yet? I go through fidget toys so quickly because I lose or break them.
It's a thing. Although I did drop it one time and it did take a chunk out of it, but it's still functional. So I was worried it was going to fall apart. I was like, oh no, but it's pretty solid.
Well, I can always print to another one.
I like this one because it's Auburn orange and blue.
I can always make you another one.
Oh, well, it's delightful. So anyway, so the month of August was the month of August. It's a weird time in tech. It's a mixture of actually zero Apple news and lots of Samsung and Google news. And really, Samsung is basically Android. So it's really actually a lot of Android news. So we also are getting closer to Windows 11. I keep pinging people at work going, hey, Windows 11, that thing is, coming out probably in October. You should probably start testing it, everybody. And I think after like the last 18 months, there's just like a oh no, a major operating system release. We are not prepared for this. So,
well, I actually found out the other day I will not be able to upgrade to Windows 11 anytime soon.
Why not?
Because a proprietary piece of software that we use for FLL has not started working on a release for Windows 11, and it will not run on Windows 11.
Hey, how? It's fundamentally Windows 10 underneath.
They've issued warnings all over the place. Do not upgrade to Windows 11 or this will not work. They've tested it internally. And it doesn't work.
It's wild. Microsoft has like an initiative that you can contact Microsoft and they will work with you to get your software working on Windows 11. They need to do that.
But we also have to have this software for competition. So until either the developer fixes it or we go to competition, I actually will not be upgrading to Windows 11.
Honestly, I'm probably going to put a blocker on our machines for at least the first, probably until December. Just kind of, I'm going to give it a couple of months. And then if people want to upgrade over Christmas break, they'll be able to. But I don't want to do a major operating system release in the middle of the semester with COVID. So they can always roll back. I mean, it's, I think some IT people have like horrible memories of upgrading from XP to 7. Or Vista to 7, and it's just, it was like really, really painful to roll back. So like, I'm not that like super worried about it because rolling back from 10 to 11 to 10 is super easy. It only takes a couple of minutes, but yeah, I'm probably going to use Intune to kind of like delay that just for a couple of months, maybe like 90 days, 120 days just to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly like the Creative Cloud suite and like Autodesk that I'm worried about. Really? Yeah. Autodesk?
Yeah, I use Autodesk and SolidWorks a lot. And I know SolidWorks took like 6 months to get everything ready for 10.
Yeah, I mean, I always have to warn my people every year of Mac OS of like, hey, if you use the Creative Cloud Suite, I would really recommend you not update.
Mm-hmm.
So I now have the MDM controls in place that I'm going to block the update unless people really... really feel like they need it, and then I will warn them and go, sure, you can do it, but I'm going to prevent the automatic downloading of Monterey just in case.
See, now Windows 10 came out my freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two laptops at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved being able to test Windows 10 for like 8 months in advance before it came out. And I went through all the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy every time I got a trophy in the feedback hub. And it's like, because like I was in college, so like I really didn't need all that much computeriness. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I can do whatever I want. If anything, I can just pop an ISO of Windows 8 back on this thing, it'll be fine. I was living the fast ring life and loved it. And then the real world hit.
You became an adult like me. I have had the itch for the last month to install all the Apple betas. And then I go, I really don't have time to reformat and re-image like five different devices that I rely on for everything now. Because I know like, I lack the self-control, but I would put the betas on everything.
See, now I have tempted to go buy like a $200 or $300 shit book just so that I can test it.
I mean, there's those new Samsung Galaxy books.
Mm-hmm. I'm very tempted to just go buy one so that I can run Windows 11.
I'm actually well, we'll see. I'm waiting for I need to read up more on Windows on ARM because I like, oh man, like there are a couple of people that I would really, really love to give the Surface Pro X to, but like I need to test that. And I just need to pull the trigger and buy the Surface Pro X and start testing it at work. Because I think they've made changes in Windows 11 now let you run the 64-bit apps. So like I think it would be fine. I just really gotta test it. Until they like, because like Windows on ARM was completely useless to us until they started supporting the 64-bit apps. So
mm-hmm.
Apple Silicon stuff's been so good, especially for like thin and light laptops that I'm hoping the Qualcomm chipsets catch up, because they've really made like thin and light laptops into something that's a lot more viable than they used to be for a lot more people. So I never envisioned myself ever having a thin and light laptop. My next laptop will be a MacBook Pro workstation, but like if I got like an extra hour of battery life, that would be pretty fantastic.
See, I don't care at all about thin and light. So, like, just make sure it works well.
Yeah, well, my thing is...
I really don't care if it's an inch thick or not.
My the people that I support want them in my computers, so I'm always I keep my finger on the pulse for that kind of stuff. So, because most users want a thin and light laptop, most people want a 13-inch, which I can see why they like the 13-inch. It's super portable, but like I find it super cramped. And I like if you're only using like one application at a time, you're able to like Windows swap or virtual desktop. That's great, but like whenever I'm in a workflow, I have so much stuff going on that like a 15 and 16 inch laptop is just like much better for my workflow.
No, I had a 14 inch for about a year and I hated it every single second. And now I'm back up to a 16 and it's like, I like big laptops. I cannot lie.
Same. I feel like with like aggressive virtual desktops, I can make a 13 inch MacBook Pro work for me, but like, I'm just way more comfortable with a 16 inch. And I have always had big and heavy laptops, and like people. So I recently got the new 16-inch MacBook Pro for someone, and they were like, "Man, this is a big laptop." I was like, "Well, yeah, it's a 16-inch MacBook Pro. It's a And she's like, "It's not bad, but like, yeah, it's definitely bigger than my old one." And I'm like, "I think that's a good thing."
Why is Ollie meowing in the background?
Because it's about 40 minutes until dinner.
He eats so early.
He's also on a kitty cat diet, so he gets very angry a lot earlier.
No, Pixel does not eat dinner or anything like that. He just grazes. I've never seen him eat more than two bites at a time. He takes literally two bites and then walks away.
I wish Albie did that. That'd be so much easier. But he does those big like food dumps, and then he's like hoovers it all up, and then he's like, "I want to go fall asleep now with my belly up." All right, rolling into Windows land. Microsoft has released the new clock app for Windows 11. They're going through and updating a bunch of their core apps like Mail and Paint and Snipping Tool. And the new clock app is actually out, which actually has some really cool Spotify integration. So I've never used the clock app before on Windows 10, but like they now have this like concept of like focus modes. And like macOS has like a similar like what's called focus that kind of like you can say like it's either like a toggle, or I think you can do it off of a period of time. Well, on Windows, you can either do a toggle or you can do it off of a period of time. Anyway. You can go like, "Hey, I want to focus for an hour," and then go ahead and start playing a Spotify playlist. And what it'll do is it'll set your laptop into focus mode and turn on focus assist. So like if you're getting Telegram messages or text messages, it'll suppress those. But if you're getting like an important like Teams message, it'll pop up. You're at work, you're not at work, it'll be like, "Nope, suppress Teams. Go ahead and like let a family member through if you want to specify that." So. I like it. I used it on Friday. And if you do with the Spotify integration, it will actually like recommend like ambient music or like like, "Hey, here are noises from like a playlist for like a coffee shop playlist," or like white noise or stuff like that. So I can't really listen to musical lyrics whenever I'm like working. So for me, I like that a bunch. Have you ever
I've tried focus mode before. I don't like it.
I use it for presentations, but that's about it. I wish on Windows it were integrated a little bit more deeply with your Android phone, kind of like it is on macOS. So that's one of the big features of like macOS Monterey is like you can build different like focus modes. So you can be like, "Hey, I'm programming," or "I'm at the gym," or "I'm in mass," and then it'll actually cascade to all of your different devices. So.
Oh yeah, I would never set all that up.
Well, they got some built-in ones like, "Hey, I'm driving. Do not disturb while I'm driving," and "I'm working out." Those are already built in, and then. The third one is like, "Hey, I'm busy. Do not disturb me."
Mm-hmm.
And if someone sends you like an iMessage, it'll actually, it gives you the option like, "Hey," it lets people know that like you're at work or you're in mass or working out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. It made me go from an app that I have literally never used in my 31, well, not really, my 25 years of being a Windows user, to like going, oh, that's kind of cool. I may try that out every now and then. So I like that they're like, they've like reevaluated. They're looking at every part of Windows now and going, what can we actually improve? And, you know, I mean, they're focusing on like the little details at this point. I appreciate that. So, also, speaking of little details, I'm actually really surprised that like they didn't do this earlier. This is so common sense, but Xbox now has a night mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set a schedule that will basically set your Xbox to dim your screen, dim the controller power button, and even the physical power button whenever you set this mode. Mm-hmm. You can tell it automatically change its sunset. You can do it manually if you want to. I think it lets you switch themes. And they also have the optional blue light filter as well. So... on my iPhone, I switch back and forth between light and dark mode, depending on sunset. So I think this, I wish Windows had this feature. Mac OS has this feature. So
I literally avoid light mode at all humanly costs.
See, I can't see, like, when I'm walking out in, like, the Alabama sun, it's, like, too bright and I can't read my phone. So that's why I use light mode.
I just turn the brightness up. Or find somewhere shady.
I guess, but I'm always texting, and there's not a lot of greenery in Auburn, so I feel like anytime I'm walking around the campus, because there's not a ton of greenery, and I can't really find shade, it just makes it really hard to read and text message people when I'm walking around campus, so. Oh, man. All right. Windows 365 is finally out. I saw this show up in our endpoint manager interface last week. So, basically it is a Windows 10 cloud PC that you can rent for as little as $20 a month. It's kind of built for like people who want to build out like supporting remote workforces. You know, I mean, like people working from home, working on their own computers, but being able to log into like a cloud PC from either the remote desktop client or like Chrome or Edge or Safari or something like that. It's kind of built for like hybrid work. We're currently using like the predecessor, which is called Azure Virtual Desktop, to deliver like a high-end virtual desktop environment for our students instead of having physical labs now. We're actually kind of like reclaiming those spaces for like classrooms and studios and whatnot. Windows Cloud PC cannot do GPUs right now, mind you. So if you've got GPU intensive applications, like full stop, this won't work for you right now. But I imagine they're going to add that in the future, because if you manually build like a lab environment or a virtual desktop environment with like Azure, you can totally use the GPU. So we're running like Autodesk and the entire Creative Cloud suite, Rhino, stuff like that. And we actually have a different virtual lab for every single college now, for different like applications. The extra cool thing is, I think this is a full desktop environment. I don't know if they let you publish just the apps right now, but with Azure Virtual Desktop, what you can actually do is you can publish like just individual applications. So you can be like, hey, I'm going to publish AutoCAD 2022, and it'll run from the cloud, and you click on that icon on your computer, and it loads up as like a windowed application, and it doesn't like throw you into a full virtual desktop environment. So I know our college of business actually does that now, is they publish like just the application. So like all the heavy applications or the complex applications that have like really complicated databases. All of those run in the cloud.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so like from a student's perspective, they don't have to necessarily buy like a $3,000 like Dell XPS 15 or 17 or a MacBook Pro. they could get something a little bit more reasonable for like $1,000 computer that'll last them 4 years and us do all the heavy lifting. So, but yeah, this is pretty neat. You may, a lot of people may be seeing, we're very early days of all of this stuff, but I can see this becoming more and more useful as time goes on. Particularly with people like working remotely and working at home, that like an IT person can be like, hey, here's a thin client box. Here is something the size of an Apple TV, plug it into a monitor or a TV and you're good to go. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, so doorbells and cameras, they're a thing. Nest made new ones. An indoor-only camera, an indoor-outdoor camera, floodlights, and a video doorbell, which will replace the IQ cameras and the Hello doorbell.
So, or what's new about them? Is it like a new design or something?
Yeah, it's better pricing and unified design.
Oh, okay. I see the doorbell is wireless now. Like it's battery powered.
Yeah.
That's that because like previously, like most smart doorbells, like you know, in a part, people who rent can't do that because a lot of renters don't actually have a doorbell wire that they can do. So looks like they come in more colors.
Yeah, they're very muted colors.
Well, like, I mean, that makes
sense. You can barely tell.
I mean, I think it's meant to like match like the exterior of your house or the door frame of your house.
Oh, no, these are the indoor ones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't realize the indoor ones have colors.
Yeah, it's the indoor ones that have colors.
Oh, well, the doorbell has colors too.
Okay.
They look a lot smaller.
They are a lot smaller.
I like how the outdoor one is like magnetic. No, like you can just like pop it off magnetically. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And they got one with a floodlight now, which is good.
Uh-huh.
No battery options for the floodlight, obviously. Interesting. So you said they're cheaper now?
Yeah, they are cheaper. Mm-hmm. Let's see, the floodlight's $280. The Nest Cam indoor is
$99. Oh, wow. That's a lot more affordable.
And the outside one is $180.
Very nice. Nest has always been a little bougie, so I'm thinking they're getting hit by a lot of other competition now. It looks like the tensor processing unit is built into them now.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently the camera will include 3 hours of event history without a subscription and have internal storage for up to an hour of event clips, or basically a week of events in case the Wi-Fi does go down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a concern on other cameras that they don't have any kind of internal storage if the Wi-Fi happens to go down. Let's see. Interesting. The video isn't actually in 4K.
No, they only do 1080.
Okay. It's a 4K sensor, right? Because they do the HDR from 4K, but they're not streaming 4K?
I don't know.
I'm reading here, according to the versions, they do HDR processing. I bet you it's a 4K sensor and they're just like downsampling it to 1080p to cut down on the bandwidth cost. I mean, if you got a couple of these things running all the time at 4K, you can really eat up a bunch of bandwidth every month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're pretty cool. I really like that the doorbell doesn't require a wire. I'm sorry. Yeah, it does not require a wire. I think that'll open it up to a lot more people. I also feel a lot better about recommending like a Nest doorbell or a HomeKit doorbell to Ring because Ring is really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust Google and Apple a lot more with privacy than I do Ring. So, all right. So, a new Galaxy Tab.
Yeah. So the S7 FE, it's not actually new. It's just finally coming to the US. It was available in Europe for the past year.
So, how is this different from what you've got? Is this just like a fancy 10-inch tablet, or is the Fan Edition the same deal as like the Fan Edition phone that it's like cheaper and has like just essential features and like but like a I'm sorry like a best value tablet,
mm-hmm.
or is this like the high end one?
I don't know actually. Well, it's LCD instead of OLED.
Yeah, that's the difference.
And
it looks like it's got 4 gigs of RAM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is just the Fan Edition, which is slightly cheaper.
Okay, so it's a couple $100 cheaper. There is an LTE option. The storage is expandable. And it does ship with the S Pen in the box, which I imagine will be popular with students. Let's see. Mm-hmm. You can get a 5G model. And the 5G will work on AT&T, Verizon. Wait. Yeah, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and U.S. Cellular in coming days. Mm-hmm. So I think because of COVID, like 5G tablets and laptops are becoming more of a thing with more and more people having to like do school work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever their like local home internet's kind of being crunched, or maybe if they're like going different places, that I think people have realized that, oh, it's kind of nice to have 5G built into my tablet or laptop. So which one do you have again?
I have the S6.
Excellent. Okay. Cool. I can't remember. Does the S6 support the S Pen?
It does.
Nice.
I just don't have one.
Fair enough. I found the old S Pen kind of thin and small. I find it too hard to use. So I think the S Pen Pro is a little bit better, though. All right. So there was a Unpacked event this week? This month,
yeah. So Samsung Pay Wallet, if you use Samsung Pay, you can now store a digital version of your COVID vaccine card.
I'm surprised Apple hasn't done this yet.
Does
Google do this?
No.
Okay, so only Samsung. I guess they're a Korean company, so.
It's partnered with the Commons Project, so you have to have the Common Health app first.
Mm-hmm.
And not all providers or and pharmacies are linked to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if whoever you got your vaccine through supports the Commons Project, your record will be in the Commons Health app, and then you can link it to your Samsung Pay wallet if you meet all the other requirements.
Okay, not in the United States, because we're doing it by a by-state basis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this works with like your like general care doctor gave you your vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But like I got mine at a football stadium. It was just a general like high risk people and teachers, come get your shot.
Yeah, I got mine at the Auburn Stadium. So where we host the old Auburn Stadium. So where we used to host our basketball games. And no, it's like an intramural basketball thing. And, a bunch of other like intramurals clubs use it now. So cool. So new watch,
where are you? Yes, the new watch, Samsung Galaxy S4 has come out. I want it.
It looks shiny. Actually, I can assure you it's shiny because I played with it last weekend.
Where are you?
I am right here above the, did you skip the Watch 4 story?
It does not. It's down. The Watch 4 story is down here.
We must have two Watch 4 stories. That's why.
Ew. Okay.
Well, we're talking about the Watch 4 now.
Yes, the Watch 4.
Which is like actually what they started the keynote with anyway. So it's a wear watch now?
Yes. I don't know. I didn't watch the keynote.
I watched like the first 10 minutes of the keynote. Because I was texting you over Telegram because you were dying a little bit on the inside because you were doing poetry sessions. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the Watch 4, it now runs Wear OS instead of Tizen, which means you're going to get the benefit of like the performance of Tizen plus like the overall interface of Wear OS plus the apps of Wear OS. But like the Galaxy Watch is still feels like the Galaxy Watch 3. So it's kind of like the best of all worlds.
I want one, but like I also don't want one.
Well, I mean, I could see that because like visually it's not a big change right now, and technically it's not a big change, but this is kind of like the foundation for like the next couple of years of Wear OS. So like, I mean, for me, like the holdup for me is like it doesn't let you set Google Assistant as the button that's hard locked in Bixby right now.
And I don't want a Bixby button.
Yeah, I don't want a Bixby button. So like, but whenever they change it so that you can use Google Assistant, it would make the watch infinitely more appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Like, for me, the rest of One UI looks fine on it. The watch faces are cool as well. I love the hardware, especially on like the Classic with like the little spinny dial thing. I really like the spinny. I would play with the spinny dial all the time.
I literally play with the spinny dial all the time.
Like, I wish my Apple Watch had a, like, well, I guess I have a spinny dial. I got the digital crown. So I play with my digital crown all the time. So for me, that felt like, oh, cool. Wear OS finally has like their little fidget toy built into my wrist.
Yeah, no, I play with mine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the lack of a Google Assistant with the Bixby is kind of a deal breaker for me. But the real question is, does it have a lefty mode?
I don't think it currently does.
What is with Samsung and Google not wanting to support left-handed watch wearers?
I don't get it. Well, it does run the Play Store, so maybe it can run lefty.
Maybe, but if not, it's back to wearing my watch upside down like I do right now.
I bet you it will support lefty at one point. So the Sport one's really cool too. You don't get the little spinny dial on the Sport, but the Sport is a bit thinner and it's $100 cheaper. I think most people are probably gonna get the Sport. I'm quite taken by the black Classic with the leather band, because don't they have like the easy swap bands?
They all do.
I mean, Samsung.
Yeah, they always have.
Okay, well, I didn't know.
Like, literally every single Android watch does.
They didn't originally. And when my Motorola Sport has a unremovable watch, so.
That's because you got the Sport, but the Moto 360 had the easy ones.
Okay. It does work with Samsung Health, which looks pretty robust now. Spotify on the watch now supports offline mode too. So if you got the LTE one, you can go running with it and track your health with Strava, your run with Strava or your bike with Strava, and then listen to music from Spotify. So it has 16 gigs of storage, so you can store your music or podcast offline. they're LTE watches, so they're not 5G. I'm not surprised by that because 5G is still kind of battery hungry. Mm. No, I really love the hardware. I mean, if they let you set Google Assistant instead of Bixby, like, I would be all over this watch so fast. Ooh, the silver one's nice, too. Mm-hmm. Man, the hardware is so nice. So I bet you come Christmas time, whenever they update it and add Google Assistant, Devin will have one.
Maybe. Maybe.
I think Devin will have one by Christmas time.
I don't know. I have a Samsung Galaxy Watch 3. Do I really need the 4?
You do need the 4 because you love your watch and your watch is your baby.
I mean, I went insane before I got my 4 because I didn't have a watch for a week. But my 3 works just fine.
You're going to want the 4.
Want it? Yes. Well, will I actually buy it? I don't know.
Samsung's pretty aggressive with their trade and stuff. So, I mean, they're just like aggressively like buy our stuff, particularly for the phones. So,
yes.
New Galaxy Buds also came out.
Yeah, I'm not impressed at all with those.
Well, I mean, you got the pros, so you don't need them, but I think they're a really solid upgrade for most other people. The Galaxy Buds 2 now have active noise canceling and a much sleeker design. The cases are white on the outside, which I'd rather have a black case, but they are colorful on the inside, including the little earbuds themselves. They're also significantly cheaper than the Galaxy Buds Pro at $150. Mm-hmm. So they come in dark gray, white, purple, and green. The quality's not going to be as good as the Pros, but they're also $100 cheaper than the Pros.
$150 right? Cheaper than the Pros.
Are the Pros $300?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I think most
pro. Hold on. No. Wait, no. Hold on. Fine. No, the pros are only $180.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, totally. I would pay extra for the pros, if anything, just to get the colorful case.
Yeah, buy now, no trade-in. Yeah, it's $180.
Okay, yeah, I would just get the Pro if you were spending that much money already. But, I mean, for some people, I mean, it may be the $30 is enough to get them to, you know, I mean, some people rather save the $30, and this may be their introduction point to wireless headphones. All right, so which one do you want to talk about, the Fold or the Flip first?
The Flip.
Flip is the one that I'm more interested in because it beeps. Mm-hmm. So the Galaxy Z Flip 3 was announced. The biggest part of it is it's waterproof, has a modern processor, and it's $200 cheaper. So it's the same price as like a, it's only a little bit more than a normal Galaxy S21 now.
Mm-hmm.
It folds in half, so you kind of get that satisfying like flip phone experience that you can like, good day, sir. I say good day. The glass screen protector supposedly feels less plasticky, which
hold on.
Yep. So the exterior display is a lot bigger. So it's like about the size of like a Galaxy Watch. So you can see like stuff, you can actually like do stuff on the exterior display when it's shut, like control your music or see notifications or access Samsung Pay and use as a tiny, tiny viewfinder. it's a refinement. And I think that really like the Galaxy Flip is going to be the most pop. I think it's going to be, I guess, the first mainstream flip smartphone that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I also like that it's kind of like a little bit thinner. Like, I'm sorry, like it's taller than, you know, I mean, the phone is taller, but like it's, the width isn't as thick. So for me, it was easier. It was a lot easier to type on this than like a normal S21. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Are you, if they were durable, would you buy a foldable?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've never really given much thought to it, mostly because they're not durable. And so I automatically just kind of put it out of my head.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't have to worry about the screen cracking, would you get one?
Probably not. I don't know. I mean, they're cool, but like, eh?
They look fun. My only thing is, like, I could get a better phone for $200 more.
I would break it.
I mean, would just, normal.
I would just break it.
You just break normal phones anyway, so.
I don't break normal phones.
You break normal phones.
I've not broken a phone since my freshman year of college.
My brain says that's a lie, but I'm
The battery went out on my S7, and my S9 just kind of EOL'd.
Gotcha.
My S4, I broke in college.
Like, I had like an Ultrabook. I can see these being really popular, like normal people, but as someone who is like obsessed with the camera on his phone, I'm always going to go with the phone with the best camera. And I feel like
a camera, it's just like, I would flip it all day long. I would literally just flip it all day long, like a fidget toy, and break it.
I could see that happening.
Like, it's rated for X amount of flips. I would get through half of it just idly flipping.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Like, that's how I broke my DS. Not my DS, my Game Boy Advance. I flipped it too many times and the hinges broke.
I could see that.
It still worked. Like, the device itself still worked. But mm-hmm. the two pieces of the Game Boy were duct taped together.
Fun. I would love to try out one of these phones for like a month and see. But again, for $1,000, I'd rather have like $200 more of camera or performance or something like that. So, the Fold is actually really interesting to me conceptually. I feel like it's a cooler replacement to the Note. Because, like, I feel like with the Ultra line of phones, they're kind of like, hey, the Ultra has all the specs in it, and that was always what the Note did well. So now the Galaxy Fold supports the S Pen, and the screen is much brighter, too. And I think it's water resistant as well. So it feels like the Fold is more of like a Galaxy Note successor of like, hey, here's this unique phone that does unique things that other phones can't do right now. You're going to pay for all the specs, but we're going to still give you all the specs too. Because when the Galaxy Note came out, it was like, oh, hey, look at this really big phone that you can draw on that you can't do on any other Android phone. And it feels like for me, the Fold is a lot like that. So if the Fold was oppressively expensive at $1,800, I think I would get one, but that's a lot of money for a phone. Mm-hmm. I do like how you can like kind of have like the dock on the side all the time now, so that like when you folded it out, like you can, it's almost like a Mac or Windows 10, you can like switch apps really quickly mm-hmm. for multitasking. I think that's really cool. Again, one of those things that like I would really like to try this phone, which I know Samsung lets you do that now. But maybe I'll try them out whenever, because like you can try it for free for like a month or something like that with that and like the watch. And I would be game with that if they let you replace the assistant button on the watch. That would be that's the one thing like really holding me up is Bixby. Bixby is like just a huge no-go. Mm-hmm. I really don't like Bixby. So Yeah, the fold is cool. The outside screen is small. It's very thin. I guess they've designed it to be usable in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I feel like this is the first year that foldables could actually be a thing for like normal people. So I wouldn't be surprised if like we see these more in the wild. I don't know if they're there yet for like me and you, but maybe in a few years they'll get reliable enough that we could consider them.
Mm.
So of the two, I don't know. If the fold were cheaper, maybe. But they're interesting. Supposedly Google's doing like a foldable later this year, like a foldable Pixel. So
okay, so if Google makes a foldable Pixel, it'll probably be worse than the initial Samsung Fold that got recalled.
I don't think so.
Knowing Google in the Pixel line, and literally every single Pixel has had some sort of weird hardware flaw.
I think if anything, it'll be like Google's like, hey, we wanted to make it thin and light, and it's going to have like a garbage battery. I bet you the screen will be okay because it'll probably have to be a Samsung screen, but I bet Google's going to be like, we're going to Mr. Matthias is going to be like, it must be aesthetically thin.
Mm-hmm.
And then like have like 5 hours of battery life. So I wouldn't want a Gen 1 a Pixel foldable, but I do hope that by doing that, it forces Google to do the work of continuing to evolve Android for multiple screens and foldables and stuff like that. Because we are getting the Surface Duo 2 later this year, and that's going to have a triple camera on the back, which means like I kind of prefer the Surface to a degree, that it's just like two separate screens, and like, yes, that is more boring, but like, I don't like with the Duo, like, I do not worry that phone is going to break. That hinge feels super solid. There are two separate screens. It's not trying to fold glass. So, like, I really like the Duo. It's just the Duo had, like, a really potato camera that made it completely unusable for me. So, like, I really dug the form factor. But a Google foldable would... I look forward to Google Foldable because it forces Google to like really dog food running Android across two screens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to force them to like make Gmail and Google Maps and YouTube and stuff like that, and support like Spotify and all of that, making having like multiple columns and stuff like that. Being able to swap back and forth between like the phone view and the tablet view on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So. Still definitely early days of all of this stuff. If you're like an early adopter, yeah, have at it. You'll probably have a lot of fun, and you'll be able to like brag about your device in front of everybody. If you want something like tried and tested, just stick with the Slapper right now. All right. Android Auto is going away?
Yes, Android Auto is going away. And Google Assistant is going to start doing its own thing. Oh, yeah, it's Google Assistant driving mode.
Have you actually gotten to play with this yet?
I have not.
You should, and report back to us.
No, I have done this. I did this the other day.
Oh, really? How is it?
I actually find it more annoying than anything else.
Why is that?
Most of the time, because if I was driving, maybe it would help me be safer. But, like, I wasn't driving at the time. I was just in the car. And I was the one doing all the navigating. I was like, okay, I'm launching Google Maps. I typed in the address. We're headed that way. And then it freezes my phone out except for Spotify and Google Maps. And I was like, no, I want to get onto it. And it's like, no, don't do this. Be safe while driving. And like, as like swiping out. And like, there needs to be an option for I am the navigator, not the driver.
Well, if you're the navigator, you would just need to use the Google Maps app.
I was. It automatically turns into driving mode.
Can you not base it off of Bluetooth or accelerometer?
Nope.
Oh, that's dumb. On the iPhone, you can pick. You can go, hey, I want this to either be accelerometer based, like the speed of my car, or I want this to be Bluetooth based.
Well, how would Bluetooth or accelerometer be different?
Accelerometer is going to be based off of your driving speed. Bluetooth is going to be what whenever you tie it to the actual audio of your car.
Well, either if you're driving or riding, you're still connected to the Bluetooth of the car.
Not necessarily. If you're navigating, you may not be connected to the Bluetooth of the car.
Oh, I'm always connected to the Bluetooth of the car.
Yeah. And also some cars don't have Bluetooth still, so.
This is fair. It was super annoying. It's like, okay. And like my dad uses it sometimes, like when he's driving by himself and he still finds it annoying.
Well, I imagine your dad also does stuff that he's not supposed to do while he's driving.
Yeah. But I find it more annoying than helpful.
I would like a car mode like this, but Apple doesn't have one, so. Apple's solution is like, buy a car with Android, a CarPlay. And I'm like, I don't have a car with CarPlay yet. Mm-hmm. So hopefully soon. The Nest Hub will now warn users when there's nearby air pollution and smoke.
Particularly this is so sad.
It is the world we live in, though.
This is so sad. Like, the fact that our air pollution is getting so bad that we need to be warned about how much of a oxygen risk we're at.
So, it's going to be available in parts of the U.S. So, the West Coast, where a lot of software gets developed, this is a big deal with wildfires. So, hence Google releasing it. So.
Yeah.
Right.
So Yelp is now going to let their businesses list their vaccination policies.
Thank God.
I know, right?
Especially with like face masks, because like it's always like, do I need one? Do I don't need one?
See, like I don't go anywhere without a mask on still. Like, I know I'm fully vaccinated, but like, and I know like in certain places I'm allowed to, but I still do. I work with kids that aren't vaccinated every day.
I do a lot of the same thing. I just assume that you're going to need a face mask on, and then sometimes I find out that you don't, but I work at a college.
Well, so. Especially with the Delta variant where people who are vaccinated are still getting COVID. Like, I'm still keeping my mask on everywhere, but I like the fact that it's like all staff are required to wear a mask or all staff are vaccinated. I like that.
And being Yelp, it should mean it's built, going to be built into Apple Maps as well. So if you have an iPhone, I imagine this will show up whenever you search out some like a restaurant in Apple Maps now.
But what it doesn't say is whether or not the business requires face masks.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, just scroll down.
Image. Got it. Yeah, I know. Like, I flat out like have been. I like don't go to businesses where staff have to wear a mask.
I don't know, because like pretty much in Alabama, we're not as militant about that. I don't know why. We don't require it, but most of the citizenry has decided that this is a good thing, and we've been hit one of the hardest states, so.
No, like, I'm flat out just not going to businesses if they don't require staff wear masks.
Oh, yeah. I know. I understand. I'm just saying that, like, most businesses require staff to have face masks. I haven't really seen one around here that does, other than maybe Chick-fil-A is the only place that I've seen that doesn't require them.
Mm-hmm.
And that surprised me. So I'm normally all about operational excellence. So
I actually haven't been to anywhere where it required me to show my vaccination status.
I haven't either, but I can maybe see in like San Francisco, New York, more blue states requiring that. Mm-hmm. I think New York's doing that. My brain says New York. I may be wrong.
I have no idea.
I'm hoping maybe by middle of, maybe by the end of September, this thing is going back down again. So
I highly, highly, highly doubt that. Like, I'm thinking that maybe by the, I think this is going to be here for a couple of years.
Like, I mean, we're going to
this level of bad.
I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it'll be that level of bad because it's just going to burn out on out of human capital. So.
I don't think so, because with people still getting COVID that are vaccinated with the Delta variant and the large amount of people that are being stupid and not wearing masks or getting vaccinated and having like large parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, everyone's going to get COVID at some point. It's going to be you got a date with COVID. It's either you're going to be vaccinated or you're going to get it. It's spread so quickly that you're going to embrace COVID one way or the other.
Yeah, so, like, I don't think COVID itself and, like, face masks and stuff like that is going to die down for another couple of years. Because we're just going to get in this endless cycle of, okay, it's a little bit better, and then a major holiday is going to happen, and then you're going to get huge bursts of it. Or, oh, it's back to school, and then, oh, it's the first week of school, and half the school's in quarantine.
I think people are going to build up enough of a resistance over time that we're always going to have it, but we'll be able to manage it. So Auburn's, knock on wood, faring better than I thought, mainly because like we haven't been as militant about having to stick with one mode of classes that other universities have been doing. So like if there is an outbreak in a class, they can pivot to online pretty easily. We have other schools in the state that have been more militant about you can't switch modes, and I think they're going to regret that as the semester goes on, because they're already starting to regret that.
I mean, my school's been hit hard. We've had four grades in quarantine. The entire robotics team got put in quarantine. The volleyball team's currently in quarantine.
Oh, I mean, we have stuff like that, but it's also like some schools in Alabama are like, no, you cannot do the online learning. And it's like, why would you take away plan B? Like, yeah, like, of course, we all want to be in person. Like, no one really likes doing 8 hours a day of Zoom calls, but like, hey, it is better than nothing. So we have had some schools that go like, no, we will not do online. It's like, why are you shooting yourself in the foot? You're going to screw up. And then, you know, I mean, an entire like class cohort of like, you know, I mean, it's going to set kids back a couple of years. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. Something is better than nothing, and I know that it is not ideal, but, like, anyway. We're moving on. This is so creepy. Why Facebook?
How is this creepy? I love this idea.
Okay. It would be less creepy if it were not Facebook.
So, like, you can do reverse, it's called reverse path through on VR, and you can see your eyes through virtual reality on the screens of the VR headsets.
So, the people on the outside can see your virtual eyes.
So cool.
I mean, it's cool. It's just, it's Facebook, so I know they're tracking my eyeballs and where all my eyeballs go. When, it's you know true. What I mean, like, we're going to pop... Facebook's creepy enough that they're going to be like, oh, I saw that his eyeball hovered over this ad for 30 milliseconds. Therefore, that's a hit. Because you know that's what they're doing because they're Facebook.
Yes, they're creepy. I'm aware. But, like, this is also cool at the same time.
Yeah, Facebook is, you know, Apple is like, in terms of privacy, is like, oh, hey, this is a 5-star restaurant and you will pay 5-star prices and it will be completely private, your own private booth and blah, blah, be very bougie. And Google's like, oh, hey, this is like a Denny's and like families eat together and like,
right now.
Oh, sorry. And then Facebook's like, hey, this is all you can eat buffet, but you have to eat completely naked. And we're going to take photos of you as you come and go. So I don't, it's cool technology, but just the fact that it's Facebook like really deeply creeps me out. Mm-hmm. Anytime I see a message on Facebook, I imagine like Mark Zuckerberg is like breathing heavily over my shoulder at mm-hmm. night. Going, I can see where you sleep, Obi.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like an ad for a Casper pillow? All right, speaking of progress, MasterCard is going to be phasing out the magnetic strip soon. In 2024, mind you, but...
And they will be completely gone by 2033.
Yes. So, I'm all for NFC payments. I love NFC.
Mm-hmm. NFC payments is nice, and so is... I hate chips. I absolutely hate chip. But, NFC is fun.
Yeah, chips, like, are so just, how do I put it?
No, they're more secure than a mag stripe, but they're functionally just stupid.
Well, and they're just like their deployment is incredibly inconsistent. So you never know like how long you stick it in. Is it screaming at you because you need to remove the card, or is it screaming at you because you removed the card too soon, or is it screaming at you because you need to keep the card in longer? Why does it sound like a ticking time bomb? Why is this machine angry at me? Help, mom, help.
I've had 3 cards fall out on me.
Oh, okay.
Like, why, the chip card just falls out of the card.
I think the chip cards are thinner than the traditional credit cards. That's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Like, I have them for about a year, and then the chip card falls out.
Oh, the chip part itself falls out.
Like, the actual chip part falls out of the card.
Oh, that sounds like a cheaply made card, then. The only card I regularly use the strip for is my Apple card, and that's made out of flippin' titanium. So if it fell out, I'd be very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, when I can, I use Apple Pay for just about everything. So NFC payments for the win. Cue Skyrim music.
Yes, so Skyrim is getting a 10-year anniversary next-gen upgrade. And you get fishing!
So November 11th, 2021, it'll be a free patch for the Skyrim Anniversary Edition. Or, I'm sorry, anyone who has the Skyrim Special Edition.
Mm-hmm.
So is this going to be what gets you to buy a PlayStation 5? Is 4K luxurious Skyrim?
No, it's not. It's available on PS4.
Well, I mean, you're gonna get the fishing, but you're not gonna get 4K.
Yeah, it's fine.
But you need 4K, right, Devin?
Yeah.
I probably need. I need to beat Skyrim. I played like 30 or 40 hours of it, and I feel like I only like scratched the surface of Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have fond memories of Skyrim. I just need to play more of it. So
mm-hmm.
But then again, this is the person playing still playing Persona 5, so no spoilers. Okay. Please. All right, so last two stories, what do you want to do?
Both of them.
Well, which one do you want to do first?
Yummy on the Squares. I really don't get what your opposition to these are.
They look disgusting. What are Yum Yum Squares?
So, it's a company called Square Eat. And it's, they're asking you a simple question. What if your food was a square? So, it's normal food. You blend it into a pulp, and then you compress it into a 50-gram square.
Why do you want that?
I love the idea. Like, it makes eating easier, makes food more portable. This also could very easily help solve the world hunger crisis, as well as get rid of a lot of food.
I call garbage on that. How is it going to deal with the world hunger crisis? Because the food is suddenly square. I don't buy that.
Hear me out. You've got all of this food that people want to donate, but it takes up a lot of room and a lot of just... for shipping. If you could condense all of the food to have the same nutritional value, but in this nice little square, they could put more food into a single container and ship it.
This is versus, like a, it's like, oh, hey, you're a third world country. We're going to give you food pellets.
I have no problem.
Like farm animals.
I would love these.
Yeah, this reminds me of like livestock raised. This does not look good.
Like, I love this idea.
The asparagus looks disgusting. All of this looks disgusting. The chicken square. A chicken is not square. A sea bass square. I don't want to know. I just know this is disgusting.
I like the concepts.
And they all have this like gelatinous glaze to them.
I'm pretty sure that's just food photography.
It looks like jelly. Okay. A chicken shouldn't look like jelly.
It would make manufacturing your food easier. Also, packaging of food could be standardized.
This feels deeply wrong to me.
I mean, how is this really any different than something like Soylent or Huel, where it's just a meal replacement drink? Which are also
disgusting.
Oh, I actually like Soylent.
No, it makes me think of Mark Zuckerberg's jizz.
Mm-hmm. It's the Lego of foods.
No, this is like gelatinous tech bro jizz. That's all I can think of.
This.
No, I'm not going to deep throat a cube. That looks a chicken cube that looks gelatinous. It just cold and no.
Well, it's not cold. You can heat it up.
You can heat up Jell-O too, but I don't want all my meals to be Jell-O. Not until I have dentures, at least.
Mm.
Okay, let's move on to the next piece of vaporware.
It is not vaporware.
It is vaporware until I see this thing walking across the stage and giving Elon Musk a hand job.
Okay, knowing Elon Musk, he would do it too. Okay, so Elon Musk unveiled something kind of fun, really cool. No hard technical specs yet. Okay, if you're going to do that, at least flip me off.
Oh, I mean, this is more for the gelatinous cubes.
Obi is flipping me off with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Does that make it even more epic?
Yes.
I have a Lego Infinity Gauntlet now to hold my power.
Okay, so Elon Musk says that sometime next year, Iron Man.
Yes, Iron Man. Lego Iron Man. Continue.
I told you that I bought the Lego Stormtrooper head, right?
Oh, well, you said you were thinking about buying it, but I didn't know you had pulled the trigger.
I kind of impulse bought it when I got my signing bonus.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why does everyone get signing bonuses except me? Everyone I know is like,
oh, that's because you work for a public university. Go back into the private sector.
I went into the private sector. They still didn't give me, because it's freaking Mobile, Alabama. And they were just like, oh.
Okay. Mobile, Alabama still is a bigger city and holds more prestige than Waco, Texas.
And somehow they don't do signing
bonuses. But yet somehow I got a signing bonus.
Like,
and you didn't.
Like, yes. Like, no. Like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, the local hospital, it was either USA or Spring Hill, wanted me as a system administrator, and they do not do signing bonuses for anyone, including doctors. And I'm like, what? No, why do you not do this? Anyway.
Yeah, no, I got a $500 signing bonus from the company and a $500 signing bonus from my boss. Like, I literally got $1,000 for accepting the job. Did nothing.
Weird economies.
Functionally did nothing. And I did nothing at work for 3 days. Because,
flooding and...
Okay, well, I guess I might as well admit it. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a teacher.
I just realized halfway between...
Yeah,
hey, the cat's out of the bag.
Out of the bag. I got a new job on Monday because I got laid off as a teacher because of budget cuts, and my principal is an idiot. But beyond that, I got a new job. I'm an engineer on the sales team at a bucket truck company, and Yeah, I got $1,000 just for showing up the first day. And I kind of impulse bought some Legos and filaments. So anyways.
Robot, new robot.
Tesla bot. It's gonna be a thing sometime in the spring of next year. It'll have a prototype sometime next year. It's a humanoid robot that will leverage Tesla's experience with automated machines and factories.
AKA, he is desperately trying to eliminate all of his, like, Tesla factory employees. That's the only reason this thing really exists.
So, it's intended to be a friendly robot, but, like, they're gonna design it at a mechanical level. Like, you can run away with it from it, and you can, most likely overpower it. It's a 5'8", 120-pound robot, and it'll have a screen for a face. And its code name is Optimus.
I have many concerns. But my first concern is, like, why is the chest down white? I know that's the Tesla aesthetic, but if it's going to be in a factory, it's going to look so dirty. I guess maybe it makes them easier to see in a factory environment.
Probably. Yeah, it was released during the AI event. Or it was announced in the AI event.
We all want humanoid robots. I want to see this. I mean, we have a spot at work and they're really cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tesla also has had a history of fancy ideas that never worked. I hope that TeslaBot is not one of them and that TeslaBot is a thing.
Or they eventually work, but with a timetable that is way farther away than Elon is actually implying, really meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that, like, I don't think it's going to happen. I think it will happen. I just don't think it's going to be like a normal product that a company can buy for at least 5 years.
I mean, I work with robots. Robotics is hard. Like,
especially humanoid robots.
Yes.
You work in robots.
Humanoid robots before. They are ridiculously difficult to make them stand up properly. Because, like, if you really think about it, when you take a step, your hip, your knee, your ankle, your foot, all is doing things at the same time that you learned how to do before you could talk.
Oh, and you're balancing a really heavy skull a skull with a very heavy brain. And, like, unlike most animals, you have a big ball at the end of a long stick that you're balancing. So,
just getting this thing to walk well is going to be a difficult in and of itself, as well as getting all of the other embedded systems to work beyond walking.
My suspicion is whenever it does launch, it will be in Tesla factories, and it's going to be like an Evangelion that is going to be wired in for power,
mm-hmm,
with an umbilical cord behind it.
Probably.
I can't imagine we have a power source that could power that for an 8-hour shift.
Oh, God, no. I've never met a robot that could work for 8 hours straight.
Mm-hmm. So, TeslaBot, hopefully spring of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But why the felt on the shoulders?
I think that looks sleek. It's a nod to Star Trek.
It is, but at the same time, it's gonna be like a speaker. It's gonna get so dirty. I don't know. I just it looks like it's gonna be a cool demo. I just don't know. I imagine the factory version will be a little bit more ruggedized than this glossy, cool looking edition.
Mm.
Cool. Yeah, TeslaBot. All right. So, robot of the week.
All right. So, it's been so long since I had one of these. So, White Castle has been replacing its workers with robots to make french fries. There's been a labor shortage. Like, literally, I work in the industrial district, and every single business has a help wanted sign. So at White Castle, they've got a robot named Flippy. And it works 23 hours a day, 1 hour is reserved for cleaning, and has operated almost continuously for the past year, roboting the fry station. So it's a industrial robot arm, and it's got a greaseproof white fabric sleeve with White Castle branding on it that protects the robot from fry grease, and it slides along a rail attached to the ceiling, and it just picks up and lowers baskets into grease, and then when it's done, it'll hang up to dry and then flip them into the pile of fries. So White Castle's got a partnership with Miso Robotics, and the chain is planning on rolling out Flippy 2.0 to 10 more restaurants across the country because they're so happy with it.
This is where I see industrial robots and food preparation robots going to be for the next 25 years. Is like these like really simple specialized devices.
Mm-hmm. Like this is the more realistic robots, but Tesla Bot's the future.
Yeah. Yes. The sci-fi future that we don't quite live in. But yeah, I feel like Flippy Bot. Mm-hmm. Flipper. What is it? Flipper or Flippy? Flippy. Flippy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Flippy is gonna be the robots that we see for a large part of our lifetime. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. It's neat that like you can actually purchase these things now. Like companies can actually purchase these things now.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Oh, all right. So time for the picks of the week.
I'm almost certain it's your turn to go first.
It's your turn.
Is it? I'm pretty sure it's yours.
You said that for like the last three times.
Uh-huh.
You have a pick of the week?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, prepare your pick of the week. I'm going to go first. Hey, if you're a photographer, you're often aware of the golden hour and the progression of the sun. If you do stuff in boats, I've been told you do the same thing. There is a watch for, an app for the iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and Apple Watch called Solar Watch that really beautifully will show you the sunrise and sunset in different cities. And my cat is hungry and he is welcome to my life now because he's on a diet. And anyway, it's free, but it has this really beautifully designed like little solar wheel. And it also will show you extra stuff like different cities. You can travel in time by rotating the wheel, which is really fun. It works offline. So if you're trying to like plan a photography shoot or see when it's going to be sunset, they have really cool little Apple Watch widgets as well. There is a pro version that does a little bit more that you can pay for like a lifetime subscription if you want to, but I just use the free one. I really dig the Apple Watch face that I can give you. It's called Solar Watch Sunrise. Wow. Solar Watch Sunrise Sunset Time, which is not intuitive at all. But it's beautifully designed. It's got widgets for everything. It works on your big Apple TV or your iPad. And it's free. I will include the links in the show notes. So it works on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and Apple Watch, including complications.
Oh, nice. And mine is actually going to be tether ties. These are specialty cable ties that tethers adapters to video cables together. And that way people cannot steal your dongles. I've had this happen to me so many times. And it's not even that dongles are that expensive anymore. It's more of the inconvenience of someone stole my VGA and HDMI adapter again, and now I need it. So now I can't use my second monitor because of this. These work on Mac, PC, you can get 10 of them for $40. It comes with a crimper to actually crimp the thing onto your onto both the dongle and the cable. And yeah.
cool. What are these called and where can you get them?
They are called Tether Ties. And you get them on Amazon or tetherties.com. So it comes with, it's like this, like, it's like a zip tie. And it's got these two loops and you loop it. And then you tighten it down and then you crimp the little metal thingy. That way it's stuck on your, it's stuck on the cable. And then you do it again on the adapter. And then you plug it together and then you tighten it down. And you cannot unplug it without cutting the tie, which has, and the cable tie has metal in it. So that way you can't just cut it super easily.
Very cool. I might have to check this out for work, actually.
They're expensive, but they're worth it.
Oh, yeah. We go through lots of adapters at the university because people walk away from them with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. I'll have to check it out. All right. So where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DevinJCR. And if you're interested in 3D printing and stuff like that, find me on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch at Designs by Evan.
Awesome. You can find me on Medium, Instagram, and Twitter at Hobie Henning. And yeah, that's, oh man, my brain is tired today. I guess that's a wrap. You want to take us home, Devin?
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. We're going to try to be a little more consistent. And until next...
We've had a lot going on lately, so please forgive us.
The world's trying to end again. Gotta love pandemic life.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyways, until next time, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask in public. If you can, get the vaccine. And if you're already vaccinated, look into getting your booster shot. And until next time, stay curious.